Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, this is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town. We're back.
Welcome to the Invested Podcast. Yeah, sorry about last week. We just got weathered out and never got even anything up. It was just the way it went.
It was just like one thing after another and the internet wouldn't work. And then I just said to myself, this is the gods do not want this to happen. Accept it.
But here we are. We're back.
Did you know that the gods control the internet?
The gods of the internet control the internet, apparently. I'll buy that. What are we talking about today? We're talking about...
Yeah, tell us.
Vista Outdoors.
We are on track. For our long-term listeners, you know we get off track. Hopefully excellently... educational and fun way, but
excellently, which is educational and fun.
Yeah. It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars for your education at Wellesley, Oxford, NYU Law. And you just said excellently.
Yes. Would you like to rephrase?
Now let's move on to Vista Outdoors. Vista Outdoors. Now, why in the world are we talking about Vista Outdoors, you guys? And I'm really thinking back several podcasts where we came upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that the reason we're even looking at this is because it appears to be massively on sale. This appears to be a company which you can buy so cheaply, it's really kind of scary that it's so cheap.
Well, and the crazy thing is that we came upon it not because of any sort of price knowledge or an event that we knew about. It was just because we were talking about random helmets. Right? We were talking about sports gear,
and that led us to Bell. And I looked up Bell Helmets, and sure enough, Vista Outdoors owns Bell Helmets. So here we are. We're sort of back with it now. And it's an interesting thing to dig into a company. So I thought we'd just show you guys a little bit about how I go about that and Danielle's ideas on that. And we'll see if it can help you guys think about how to look at things. So let's just start remembering the very, 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 very basics here. And that is, we would like to own, and I'm not even sure we've ever really expressed it like this in all these years, but here we go. We would like to own a company that is a compounder. Have we ever said that before?
I don't know if we've ever said that before. Tell me more.
It's another way to think about this. We mm-hmm. want to own a company which will take the money we put in it. Let's say we put in a $10,000 in this company. And we would like that company to compound our money at a very high rate of return, preferably a minimum of 15% a year, which will double our money every 5 years. And we would like that to go on for our whole life. That would be ideal. Now, unfortunately, most companies won't go that long, right? They're going to run into competition eventually, or their industry changes or whatever. But some companies do, and so that remains our ideal, that we have this literally a multi-generational company. That would be ideal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we bought Coca-Cola super good price sometime down the road and we didn't mind that it was making people obese, we thought that was fun. And so our values aligned with Coca-Cola, and I'm being facetious there, then it's possible that we could have owned that company for over 100 years. We could
Which
have owned
is
Walmart for 50
a good
years.
Thing. Like yeah, that's what we're going for, right?
That's what we're trying to do. Because look at it this way, you guys. A lot of people like me love to do stock investing, stock research, digging into it. I love to bang around the numbers. I love to think about it all the time. That's what I do. I mean, I really enjoy it. Danielle, do you love it that much?
No, I hate that part. Or? No.
Okay, hate that part.
But you should like say I hate that part. I've started to like it. But, you know, my insides on some level still really don't like it.
But what I bet you do like is the idea that you've put money into something that's like almost like a U.S. Treasury bond. Instead of giving you 2% a year, it gives you 15% a year. And it keeps on going just like a U.S. Treasury bond almost forever. It just keeps on going and doubling your money every 5 years. Or if you really hit a big home run, you might have one that doubles your money every 3 years for a long time. But let's just say 5 years. That's a 15% compounder. That's a really good one. And that would be like every 5 years you double. So if you put in $10,000 now at, let's say, age 23 or 24, and you're now, let's say, 73, so you've done this for 50 years, and each five-year period, that $10,000 has doubled. So let's see how many of those there are there, right? It's like 50 years, every 5 years it doubles, so there's 10 doubles in 50 years. So that $10,000 becomes, what do you think? I'm thinking it's $1 million. Just that one investment. It's 10, 20, 40, 80, 163, 26, 40. Oh man, it's way more than that. 1.2 million, 2.4 million, 5 million, 10 million. Sorry, it's $10 million. Did I do that right?
Wait.
It's okay, guys, the rule of 72 is so cool. We talked about this a million years ago, but let me just bring it up again because that's what I'm using in my head. Is I know I'm targeting a 15% return. I divide 15 into 72 and I get 5. I get 5. That means every 5 years, this stock, this theoretical stock, will double my $10,000. So I start when I'm 23, but with 10,000, by the time I'm 28, I have 20,000. At 33, I have 40,000. With me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. At 33, I have $40,000. At 38, I have 80,000. At 43, I have 160,000. At 48, I have 320,000, right? Because it's doubling the whole enchilada every 5 years. That means the money I leave in it, I'm just leaving my 10,000 in there, and it is compounding this money with growth that it is creating on its own. So I'm 53 years old, and I've forgotten how many monies I've got. I've really lost it there. It's about 30 years, so it's about 6 doubles. 20, 40, 80, 163, 20, 640. Yeah, I got 640,000. I'm 53. 1.2 million at 58. 2.5 million at 63. 5 million at 65, 68. And at 73 years old, you got $10 million. From one investment of $10,000 at age 23, that was a 50-year compounder. And they exist. They do happen out there.
They do. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first thing, is we're looking for a compounder, something that can compound our money for a long, 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 long time at a very high rate of return. That's what we would like. Okay. Now,
yeah. I mean, everybody listening is going like, I mean, it doesn't really go like that.
What do you mean it doesn't really go like that?
Like over time it does, if it's a really great company. Mm-hmm. But they go up and down.
You mean like
and up
every
and down
5 years?
And up and down and up and right.
Sure.
Well,
it
and
does.
And therein
if you're talking
lies
about,
the
wait,
difficulty
excuse me,
of
excuse me.
Sticking
wrong.
With it.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Wrong. Big mistake and a big psychological error that you're making. If you think that what we're talking about is the market price. What we're talking about is the value of this $10,000 is doubling every 5 years. not the market price. The market price could triple in 5 years and then go nowhere for 5 years, or then go down for 5 years and then go up for.
Oh, well, now that's something I think you've never said. You're talking about the value of the company.
Yeah, man, if I've never said that, that is a gigantic, error, really, because to think that what we're talking about is market price is only the case when the market and the value are coming together, which we know they will.
Yeah, and they do.
They do periodically over time. But we certainly don't think about the company in terms of its market price any more than we would think about, I guess, the house that we own that we're renting, right? We've got a rental and it's renting and producing all this money. Really wouldn't need to think about that house in terms of the market price at all. I just know that over a long period of time, it's going to be a lot more valuable. Or a farm, right? That with other farmers selling their property for high and low prices, whatever. Really, we just are looking at the value of the business relative to the earnings of the business, to the free cash flow. And that's all we need to keep our eye on, as long as that's good.
I think that distinction gives me such peace. Like, that distinction is what made me shift from wanting nothing to do with investing in the market to going like, oh, I still want nothing to do with the market, and I don't really have to have anything to do with the market. Like, well, it's not a shift to like, oh, now I'm comfortable. No, no, no.
Right, right.
I'm still not comfortable. It's a shift to, I can just not totally ignore it, but mostly ignore it, which is frankly what I do.
Oh, and I really think you can really totally ignore it.
I often feel guilty because people will say to me, you know, how's XYZ company doing? And I'm like, honestly, I have no idea. Like, did they drop yesterday? Didn't know that. No clue. Right. And I kind of have no interest in going and looking that up. And I usually feel kind of guilty about that because I kind of think like, oh, I should be more up on these things. But I just don't care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, you might feel you shouldn't care. I think that's perfect. Honestly, you should not care what the market's doing. I listened to Charlie Munger say once that if you can't stomach the company that you own going down by 50%, then you really have no business being an investor.
Totally.
The way we do it.
Totally.
So the best way to handle that is to not even look at it.
Yeah, which
just
I don't
look at the company.
I don't do. So what matters is looking at the company. Exactly.
Yeah. So, for example, in this banking crisis that we've just got into, we own one company, and I wanted one bank, and I wanted to go make sure that this new problem that I hadn't thought about any more than anybody else had, right? The sort of remarking of bonds that are not marked to market, therefore companies are not experiencing real losses, theoretically, until everybody takes their money out, and then they're really going to experience real losses, and nobody thought about that, including me. So the one bank that we own, you know, I absolutely dug in immediately on the Thursday that this started happening. And by the end of the weekend, I was very confident that this bank was as well run as I thought it would be.
Okay. Okay. So I take your point there. So that's really interesting because your point there is not the bank stock price dropped, therefore I need to go check it out. The point is an important distinction, which is there's a new piece of information that may affect the value the bank,
right?
And I need to go check that out.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the only thought in my mind. And once I checked it out, then I did look at the price, hoping I could buy more. But that's it. that was the only reason to look at the price, is if I'm, if I've got some cash around that I could buy more with,
right,
then
right,
I'm interested.
Right.
Otherwise, no, I love this bank and I love how well they came through this. This is like, damn, these guys are as good as I thought they were. So,
well, and also yeah, what came up for me when you were saying like the compounding process over 5 years and then another 5 years and then another 5 years and then and eventually owning something for maybe your whole lifetime and beyond. Yeah. And maybe you then bequeath that company to your kids and grandkids, which would be like, I mean, what a cool thought, right? Like you buy something and it, I think we all, I think partially because it's on the internet, our buying and selling of stocks we do online, it feels a little bit not real. It feels a little bit like a video game or a computer game or like social media. I don't know, well, just something that's point, a little bit like virtual.
Good point.
And this concept of like literally actually owning a piece of a company that you then could give to your kids later on, like that brings it home in such a more concrete, deep way that I've actually never thought about that because I don't have kids probably, but like thinking about it in that way where it's something that you could own even like and give it to your family past dying, like really makes me think, oh, this is really serious. This and in cool, in a good way, not in a bad way, in like a way very of like, cool, yeah, I could really
well
hand something
really
down
serious,
that matters.
Yeah, it is really serious. And one of the maybe mistakes that the guys made at Robinhood, who built Robinhood,
mm-hmm,
is they made it frivolous. You know,
right, that's a great example. So that
confetti,
one where they really leaned into the whole thing of it feeling very virtual and playish and computer gamey. Totally.
Right. Yeah. And maybe that wasn't the best thing to encourage people to think of it as frivolous and to engage in just pure on gambling, you know, when what we really want to do is we want to set aside money that will by itself compound. See, otherwise, see, if this company, let's say, does well for 4 or 5 years and then has a problem, then I've got to take my money out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to find another compounder.
Yeah, it's more work.
It's more work. And I would much rather leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it compound away. I mean, the classic example of a low growth company that Buffett's been in forever is See's Candy that he bought for $25 million. And now See's Candy puts $65 million a year into Buffett's hands to be invested. And it's just like, man, how about if that, and that was, you guys, that was 50 years ago that he bought that company.
So
he
crazy,
bought American Express 50 years ago and he still got it. It's still compounding. And it's just like, man alive, the power of that, just to leave it alone is
yeah,
so wonderful. But for all the work you don't have to do in the future 50 years because you bought this wonderful compounder, you got to do a bunch of work up front.
Yeah, that's
in order
true,
to buy it.
What's that book, Dad? It's called like 100X something, 100X. You know what I'm talking about? It's about finding compounders that give you 100X return.
Yeah. I do know.
And there's a cool
about
name
that
the person who wrote it came up with for that that's commonly used, and I am completely blanking on it because I forget words now.
They call it like four baggers or something.
Bagger,
like that,
that's what it is. It's 100-bagger.
100-bagger.
Yes, thank you. That's a book that's all about this,
yeah,
like skipping. Like the message is skip the 10 baggers, skip the 20 baggers, even though for most investors, that would be like the greatest return ever. We want to focus on the 100 baggers. You're going to get 100X
yeah,
return and just stay with that company while it compounds the whole way along its life cycle. And I just think like keeping that in mind, I don't know how we ended up talking about this, but I'm loving it. Like it's giving me mega excitement. Aren't you loving my vocabulary today, Dad? I'm really glad we're recording this.
Oh my gosh. the company that I just talked about, that theoretical company that we put $10,000 in and it doubles our money at 15% every 5 years and we end up with $10 million is, you'd have to call it a unicorn, right? Because they hardly exist. They do exist. They do happen, but they're pretty unicorny.
Yeah.
Because that's not a 100-bagger. That is a 1,000-bagger.
True.
That is a 1,000-to-1 return. And that does happen, but I don't think we can really count on it in the least.
That's but rare. Here's my point, honey. It's rare to have that in a publicly traded company. It is rare. It's just too much.
It is rare. But here's the thing I wanted to say is that the reason we target this kind of return, this kind of company, a company that can compound our money long-term like that,
mm-hmm.
Is because we don't want to constantly have to find something that's in the market. We don't want to be a trader on Wall Street. That's not where our skill set's going to be. And that's not where you and I, as just ordinary people with a, you know, a high school GPA of 2.8, and, you know, it's like not going to be anybody's valedictorian.
Or who used the word excitedly over and over.
Or use the word excitedly over and over again. We're just regular people. And for us to be able to find a company that could do this for us and fill the portfolio with them is, from Wall Street's perspective, it's impossible. They just don't believe you guys can do that because they can't do it.
You guys, meaning
me? They can't. You and everybody listening to us. Wall Street doesn't do it. And of course, we've talked ad nauseum about why, mm-hmm. right? Their short-term focus makes it impossible for them to wait for one of these companies to come along and put a lot of money into it. They're massively diversified, short-term focus. You can't do this kind of investing. But we know that thousands of people do this kind of investing, and many of you who are listening are doing this kind of investing, and our students are doing this, and they're having success with it. And it may not be $10,000 becomes $10 million, but it certainly is the case that $10,000 can become $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge, right? That is huge. So what do you have to do when you start into this process
so
of looking
start,
at a Vista Outdoors?
Yeah, Vista. So we have, let's get into it a little bit and then we'll probably continue in the next episode.
So what I really want to know is, can this be a compounder? Is this company going to be a long-term compounder for
Love me? It. I'm writing that down.
That's right off the bat. That's the best way to think about that. And so before I start diving into that, maybe we should just start afresh with our next episode. But I will give you a hint about where we're going. The first thing I want to know is this, and you guys know I'm going to go here, is this something I can understand well enough to know it's a compounder or not?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, is the business simple enough for me? Is it predictable enough for me? That's the first thing I want to know. And then we'll get into the next pieces, which really are revolving around the idea of free cash flow, debt, quality of management. Just a first look at these things. We're just going to look at those pieces.
Hmm.
Dominant market position. Are they controlling their markets? So let's get into that next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
So this is good. We'll dive right into it. No more
You guys
preamble.
Get one more week to do your
Looking
Vista Outdoor research.
Okay, so here we go. Vista coming up next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Until then, see ya. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com and sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important, it's not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your financial advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only, and I really hope you enjoyed it.